up, everyone, and welcome back to the No Quitters Podcast, the best MTV The Challenge podcast in the universe. As always, I am your host, Clem, and I'm joined by my alliance, Connor, in the house, and we have a little bit of a twist for you. Big Cat is traveling today, missed the challenge tonight, wasn't going to obviously podcast about it blindly, so we have kind of his Barstool Chicago. I don't know if Big Cat's Tony and Chief is Shane or vice versa, but we basically have the Shane to Tony difference of Big Cat. We have Chief, Barstool Chief on Twitter, Blackhawks blogger, all around great guy. Been a great follow on Twitter. Definitely check him out. Buddy of mine, and welcome to the podcast, Chief.
Yeah, definitely a rookie on the show. If we're gonna stick on that theme, gonna be a rookie. And calling me Shane is a lot to live up to. That guy is absolutely electric. So I hope I can deliver a tenth of the entertainment value that Shane brought to the table. But yeah, thanks for having me, boys. I'm excited to be here.
No problem. Again, great takes on the challenge. Funny dude. Follow him on Twitter at Barstool Chief. So like I said, we have Chief filling in this week, and we lost a lot of good people last week. We lost Leroy. We lost Candace, who was an MVP all the time, Tony, Shane. And we almost lost Connor last week at our holiday party. you know, but the people can't see, you know, we taped this. We all have video of each other. The first minute I noticed Connor was slurring his speech during the last episode, I had deer in the headlights look. And luckily, Dan kind of like wiggled us out of it and started the 20 seconds of Connor. Connor, happy you're still here. I'm sure the listeners are all happy to know that that wasn't like an automated Twitter. That's, you know, you are truly alive right now.
Guys, I'm happy to be alive. I'm here. I'm happy to report that I am sober, despite the fact that it is New Year's Eve. I had a terrific time at the holiday party, but with any holiday Christmas party in any business, there is the rule of probability that at least one in three people at the party will probably drink maybe a little too much. So I was just fulfilling that probability. Somebody had to step up. We're not quitters in this podcast, and somebody had to step up, and that was me. But I did pay a little bit during the podcast, and thank God for you and for Dan stepping up, because it was difficult. I mean, I took some difficult classes in college. But none of that paled in comparison to trying to speak on the podcast last night. It was like I had thoughts in my head, but there were little men defending the thoughts from getting to my mouth, and I just could not get them out. I knew exactly the takes I wanted to present to you guys, and I just couldn't get it out. But I would like to thank everyone for their genuine concern the next day. And then throughout the week, and your kind words, I'm sure it was interesting to say the least to listen to. I know, Chief, you said you gave it a listen today. I mean, what'd you think?
Well, at first, the way that you guys have been talking, I was kind of following along on Twitter. I thought it was like a thing that you guys decided, like you're all going to get a little drunk, maybe to make the podcast flow a little more easily. And then once you started talking, it was. So obvious that you were rocked, and Christmas parties sneak up on you. That happens to everybody. Everybody's been there. I've never tried to record myself on the internet immediately after one of those. So that was a gutsy move. You got big balls for that. But yeah, it was entertaining. It was funny. And Dan is no stranger to that either. So he was able to keep it going, keep it on the rails. So that was, I don't know, I enjoyed it. We might need more drunk Connor in the future.
I'm happy you did. I just like to say, you know, I have one speed. I always say I have one speed, and I really enjoy, just like you, Clem, I really enjoy Christmas. So I got into it. I'm sorry, but I'm not.
Hey, you know what? You were our Meredith from The Office at the Christmas party. You know, you lit yourself on fire, and it was all fun and games. You know, we took you to the hospital. Everything checked out. We tried to check you into rehab. But And I like how you said how you, like, took tough classes in college. It's like, yeah, Connor went to West Point. He's comparing a drunk podcast to going to West fucking Point. It was that difficult
to get my thoughts out of my head. It really was that difficult.
Where else do you get this kind of content other than No Quitters? So, and one last thing, kind of what we touched on last week. TJ, we haven't, I don't think Dan's tweeted anything back at TJ. I've written a couple more DMs to Big Cat saying, please, seriously, do not tweet at him. And Connor, you told me you were thinking about tweeting at him. You definitely don't tweet at him, especially. Well, yeah.
No, I know. I'm not the guy in the group who does the tweeting and the reaching out to people, but I saw that he tweeted just, you know, without being prompted by anyone. He just said, hey guys, something to the effect of, hey guys, just so you know, I'm not streaming with Big Cat tonight. I'm out on vacation, so we're not doing that tonight. And I was like, oh wow, so like, okay, we're really doing this, so that's great. And then between him and Dan, I think it looks like, I don't know.
Don't do it, Connor. Just don't do it.
I'm sorry. All
right, I got like excited when I saw TJ just randomly tweeting Dan. So like, Dan has like infiltrated that world. So now. That would be a huge get if you guys could get TJ to come on this podcast.
Definitely.
Well, and if he does come next week, based on who we have, because I was a little, you know, I was thinking tonight, 2-part episode, could have been a great time to have him on. But then you see who's coming next week on the episode, and then it couldn't be any more perfect. So hopefully TJ is able to make it next week, and we'll make that happen.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Whenever we know when exactly he's coming on, we'll tweet it out. We'll let you guys know. We'll let you guys know on the podcast if it's beforehand. And then we obviously want to hear all your guys' questions and whatnot. So watch our Twitter at NoQuittersPod for that. Let's before we get into the episode, one last thing. Chief legit diehard reality junkie, just like our friend Connor, has a Bachelor podcast. Again, follow him at Barstool Chief. He'll give you more info on their podcast. They just actually taped the first one for the next season with your boy Barstool Trent, Iowa's favorite son, and then Maddie Lou Chandler, Texas's favorite daughter. I don't really know how we want to say that.
She's from the Outkick, the coverage site with Clay Travis, yep. and has her own Bachelor blog. So she's pretty good as well. But yeah, I'm ready to get into this episode. If you guys are, there's a lot that happened. So
we're taping this late at night. We're all just still on the adrenaline of the last two episodes. So I thank MTV for giving us enough to handle here. We'll get into, we're going to kind of cover the first episode first. Kellyanne versus Anissa. So we had, just two alpha females in the house just going at it right off the bat. We have to be kind of, you know, as three white suburban dudes, we have to be very careful about the line. We don't want to approach any safe spaces or micro or macro aggressions here. But you know, the black skin line was out of this world. Admitting to being a C word, that was hilarious as well. We had a drink toss in the face from Anissa. Oh, excuse me. I'm only calling her Diaper Breath for now on. So Diaper Breath threw a drink in Kellyanne's face. Kellyanne did not retaliate, which was amazing. And then Jenna solving race relations by saying, call orange is orange, pink is pink. I mean, we have a million ways to go here. Chief, let me just get your quick evaluation of that fight.
I was so stunned. When Anissa threw the drink in her face, because obviously they don't allow any violence on this show whatsoever. So the drink toss is like a haymaker from Mike Tyson. Like that's the equivalent as far as, you know, it's as close to the line as you can get without getting tossed off the show. So that was something else. Kellyanne just kind of took it, lost some respect for her. You got to come back with a drink, something. And I think that's kind of why she went down the race lane. She tried to spin it off like it was a compliment. Like, I'm just going to say that I don't want to get in trouble on your show. But there's, you know, that where she was like, black people don't age or they age very well. And that didn't go over with Anissa either. But it almost like it was like I could see that Michael Richards thing happening yes. in Seinfeld, where he was like so enraged that he had to go with the race because that was mm-hmm. all he had. And that was Kellyanne. The drink toss, she was so flustered and drunk, and she's a Southern redneck too, that's all she had in her mind. And it was like, it almost got her kicked off the show. And I thought that Anissa was going to kill her. So while it was going on, I'm like, that racist comment, if that gets her kicked off the show, she saved her life. Like that comment might have saved her life had she been kicked off the show. It didn't quite play out that way, but yeah, fireworks right off the bat.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy that you just said that she had to come over the top with the race comment, because Diaper Breath really went at her with some of the most degrading things one girl can do to another girl. One, the drink in the face. Two, she called her old. Girls hate that.
Hate that.
They hate that. And then did she, and then with the C word, it was just, I mean, short of spitting in her face, she nearly killed her. So she had to come over the top with something so she could save maybe a little bit of face. I don't know. To get herself back in the house, like you said, Chief?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to – sorry to interrupt. I don't want to say that that was her only option. I want to go on the record and say that that is not an option. But I can see that, like, Kellyanne was trying to think of another option but lacks the intellectual capacity to come up with anything besides race. So it was – for Kellyanne, it was the only thing that she could come up with. I would like to think that me personally and the three of us here – would have found a better solution or a better comeback than going with flirting with the race line there.
Yeah, that's a hell of a line to just toe right off the bat. I mean, the drink in the face, you're just blinded by rage. If you don't throw a garnish back, at the very least, you're kind of just grasping at straws, for lack of a better term. The thing about Kellyanne everyone forgets is, I don't know if you guys watched her season back in Australia. She is like a legitimate psychopath when she gets into fights. She got into a fight with like that one New York girl who was kind of like a little off center, and she was hissing at her and spitting at her through like the plate glass windows that they had in the house. So obviously we're not dealing with someone who's all that, you know, in tune in her brain.
Although I would go so far as to say that she has made an attempt to better herself. Cause you see now she's very big into the yoga world, you know, namaste. That was probably part of what was going on inside her that refrained her from lashing back out at Anissa. Cause she saw what a trash bucket she used to be. So maybe she's complete, you know, 180. And now she's not that crazy.
She's matured.
Herself. Yes. She's a very mature 29-year-old woman.
Yeah. Who looks 40?
According to Anissa, who looks 40. Exactly.
And like you said, Connor, that really does cut deep in girls, because my wife, as soon as she said that line, was on like Wikipedia or IMDb looking up their ages. It was like, she's older than us, or she's younger than us. And I'm like, ooh. And we did say Kellyanne is the hottest girl on this season, but sometimes she just looks
She's weathered.
On the flip side, just a little tip here for maybe some of our younger male listeners. Best way to approach an older woman in the bar, tell her she looks wildly younger than she obviously is, and she'll just melt right in front of you. So you're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. Connor just giving out relationship tips. I love it.
Yeah.
So, and then we had, again, Jen is solving race relations. We'll just leave it at orange is orange, pink is pink.
I had some
random person who doesn't even follow me tell me she wanted me to delete that tweet. And
I saw that too.
Yeah, you saw that? I got very scared. I was like, I'm about to be on the cover of like some awful fucking Twitter egg site. So I just left that one alone altogether. After that, we get to the vote. We had the Dario 2 versus Mike vote. And Anissa ends up slithering to the other side, throwing Dario 2 into the duel. And then Mike versus Mitch vote, and everyone's just scared as shitless of Abe, probably, so we get Mitch into the duel. Mitch's acne was on point today. That was incredible.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah, that was serious.
It's a heck of a way to go on television. I feel bad.
Do you guys really have anything to say about the vote? I mean, everyone always gets pissed whenever they get voted in, acting like someone doesn't have to get voted in every single time out. Connor?
Yeah, the first thing that made me laugh was thinking that Johnny Bananas actually knows what coup d'etat means, because he dropped coup d'etat, and there's a good chance he has no idea what that actually means, although he did use it properly in terms of the rookies versus the vets.
I'd love to see him try to spell it.
Yeah.
Maybe next year for trivia next year, spell coup d'etat.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. I don't know if he did it on purpose, but if Mike stepping up and trying to throw himself in, that makes everyone think like, oh, Mike's dumb. But is he like dumb like a fox? Like he knows like, oh, I'm going to step up and suggest myself knowing that everyone else is going to vote the rookies in. So it makes him look good. And at the same time, it keeps him out of the elimination. So I thought that was a sly move on Mike's part. But beyond that, it was just pretty obvious they wanted to get the rookies against the rookies into the pit.
Yeah, it's usually how it kind of goes. Chief?
Yeah. I was going to say it was just another example, at least the first episode of Johnny Bananas, just the puppet master, that they had Anissa who had like some kind of little relationship with Corey that kind of fell apart before the vote, but you could tell there's some lingering feelings. And then so it was like, is she going with her boyfriend or is she going with her daddy? Johnny Bananas, and she went with her daddy, and she even said that she's like, I saw you looking at me. I was gonna look like I was looking at a disappointed father, and he's like, you're right. Wow. So it was just like Johnny Bananas, like he was put on this planet to be the mastermind of this game, and in the first episode in that vote, he worked it perfectly and got the exact result he wanted. So he, once again, he's the Belichick, the Phil Jackson, whatever you want to call him. He is the master of this game.
Yeah, I love how everyone, when they say their votes, are like, hey, yeah, sorry. Like, no, you're not sorry. Like, it's a game. Like, you have to vote for someone. You don't have to then say, oh, sorry, like you actually give a shit. You're not sorry. Don't say sorry.
These people That's are the not worst. Emotionally stable, though. So you, like, no, think this person might kill you in your sleep, you know, especially like someone like Abe. But Johnny Bananas, I mean, if Michael Corleone was a real person, he'd be taking notes from Johnny Bananas on how to like manipulate situations and like get everything he wants. It's truly unbelievable. And a Stooley tweeted at me. He said, every single season, no matter what, like the rookies just slowly get cycled out of this every single time. Like no matter how it's set up, like it's like fantasy football where you always think, all right, I'm going to go with this guy. I'm going to get this rookie, that rookie. This guy was from Alabama. And then it's like Julian Edelman ends up being like the number five receiver in your league and you just ignored him in the draft. It's truly unbelievable every single year.
You know who I think really won that whole voting and the first half of the show was Kellyanne's white tank top or crop top. That looked fantastic.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Good for her.
So we get the whole, after the fallout, we get a shot of what appeared to be a new castmate. And it was very interesting. You know, there was a lot of upheaval last week. You didn't know what the hell was going on. I had people tweeting me, who is this new person? I think both facetiously and not facetiously. Turns out Nicole without makeup looks completely different than she does in real life. This is non-White Walker Nicole. My favorite line was, I didn't know Ruthie was back on the show. So that's someone who's an OG Challenge fan that they're calling out Ruthie things. Connor, you've been saying it for, you know, weeks now that, you know, the eyebrows is one thing, but this was a different person we saw today.
Yeah, you put it very well, though. You said most of us go in our closet every day and decide what we're going to wear. And Nicole goes in her closet every day and decides what face she's going to put on. Yeah. And it's unbelievable. But you know what? I like Nicole because she's obviously listening to what's going on social media and all the backlash in her eyebrows. Cause she made a little bit of a self-deprecating joke about herself in the first challenge when she said, oh good, there's no water. So my eyebrows won't wash away. So I like that she's poking fun at herself a little bit. That was nice.
Chief, what are your thoughts on Nicole? We haven't really, you know, she's obviously a very unique character here. I'd love to hear everyone's, you know, I know JJ from Barstool is in love with her. I would kind
of
know where
you're saying. Of course he is. Yeah. that makes so much sense. I wish that we got more of her. I think that she could be like a star of this show. I don't know if the bloodline thing is ever going to be able to come back or what, but.
Well, they take what they're going to do. Spoiler. Some of these people from this season will be on next season. So don't be surprised if you see it again.
Because she's a star and you know that she's got that Nani fire somewhere in her gene pool too, where she's capable of having like a knockout drag out yelling match and things like that. But the white eyelashes, I feel like I've seen. Clem, your tweet with the Game of Thrones references, the God of Many Faces, that's her. That's the best way to say it. Like every week is something different, and it's just she just picks it out off the side of the wall. She's the goddess of many faces. So it actually like. I feel like that should get her work. Is she a makeup artist or whatever?
Someone said she's a stripper, which makes complete sense.
Get out.
Well, she could if she wants to change careers at some point. I feel like she could be a beauty school girl and like just do professional makeup because look at what she's doing. She's making herself multiple people every single week. So it's been fascinating to watch. I hope we get more of her in the future.
I think we will.
She's Jean Parmesan from Arrested Development. I don't know if you guys watch it, but it's like, oh shit, Nicole Parmesan. Yeah, like you said, Chief, she's a superstar. She was kind of actually held down by Nani, I feel. You know what I mean? Like, she was always in the background. Like, when your cousin is throwing shit fits every 5 minutes because she gets into a crying match or a scream match with someone, you kind of have to be there for her. It's kind of like, I compare, like, Randy Moss was like the little puppy to Chris Carter when he first came in the league, and everyone's like, don't worry, Randy Moss is going to be fucking awesome. Chris is just getting him, like, showing him the ropes of the league. So I feel like it's like if Randy Moss just, like, got kicked off the NFL in, like, week three of the season his rookie year, like, next season is when, you know, Nicole starts setting records again.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we got a little window into Nani where she kept telling the rookies to know your role. How many times does she say that to her own cousin at night? Like, yeah. Hey, stop getting all this camera time with all your ridiculous faces. Know your role. I'm Nani. I'm the star. So I think there's definitely some of that going on too. But I agree. We need more Nicole because she's a reality star in the making.
Superstar. But, for sure.
I mean, we need to talk about how Nani reacted after that vote.
Well, we had the Dario 2 and Dario 1 just going at Nani. And it was, I mean, I don't know what the Darios are. I know Nani's Puerto Rican. It was a Spanish bloodbath. I mean,
the Darios are Staten Islands.
Oh, yeah, they're Staten Islanders. That's right. They're their own.
Yeah, they're their own ethnicity.
Yeah, we had a bilingual bloodbath. We had Dario 1 or 2 just straight up switching to Spanish at the end. Nani mm-hmm. crying. I think one of the Darios said they wanted to hit Nani, which, I mean, again, we're not going to even touch that, but that's just wrong right there. Mm-hmm. That is why we watch the challenge, because we know Nani can do that. And by this time next season, Nicole will be even crazier than Nani, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I think Nani, the reason she got so fired up, you know, when you get the most angry is when someone throws a dig at you that you know has at least a little slither of truth. When Dario 1 or 2, whichever one it was, said in reference to her belonging on Banana's lap.
Oh, yeah.
That is what set her over the edge. And then we got that unbelievable vine that you so adeptly captured, Clem, of TJ just nodding and watching from the sidelines, just taking it all in. And I tweeted, TJ is all of us right now. We're all just on the sideline enjoying what's going on in front of us. So that was fantastic. Yeah. And then the Darios with the, you know, ever-present action on the challenge, the old hold me back, trying, you know, going at it with Bananas, like knowing full well you're not going to do anything, so why are you even getting somebody's face?
It's the NBA fight. It's the classic NBA fight where everybody's so tough until, like, you get actually chest to chest and then you get separated. But the way the Darios went out, I don't know if we want to transition right to that. Couldn't have been more perfect. Yep. Where the premature celebration with the extra macho chest bump that knocks him off the mat and they ended up losing. It was like the biggest meathead loss I've ever seen. That might, like, all time might be the number two behind CT dumping Johnny Bananas on the garbage can in terms of eliminations.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious and, like, will be, like, a memorable challenge moment. So much so that I feel bad for Dan. I feel bad that Big Cat missed out on this episode because it was so fantastic. It hit everything we needed. And, Clem, like you said, this is why we watch the challenge, because it's so stupid and so awesome all at the same time. And tonight was perfect. That ending in the first episode was just – I couldn't have scripted it better.
The Darios were Swaggy P throwing up the three ball just too early. That's all it was.
I was going to say, yeah, the A-Rod comparisons, that they looked like him. It even came down to, like, the 04 swatting Arroyo's glove. And you're just like, mm-hmm. Oh, A-Rod. Oh, Dario 2. Why do you guys do what you do? And, like, who was it? Mitch, right? Mitch was who he was going against. Mitch is getting dragged by his throat, basically, to, like, his death. And then he acts like he won it at the end. He's like, yeah, what? And it's like, Mitch, no. Don't celebrate. The Darios are assholes, man. And then they were talking shit to Bananas the whole time, and Bananas just the puppet master, like you said, Chief. The puppet master just shrugs. They're like, I told you guys.
See ya.
And that, that like you had said earlier, Connor, that TJ reaction Vine and GIF, I had 1,000 tweets asking me for that Vine. And then once I got the Vine, they go, I need it in GIF form. So, you know, that that's going to be like our crying MJ face, us people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then it was great after, you know, they lost that that elimination and you have everyone, they're panning to everyone calling them idiots. And Jenna was one of them, one of the people calling them idiots. I mean, when Jenna's calling you an idiot, I mean, well, like, I don't know what to tell you. That's just, you're in a bad spot. I'm sorry. That's bad.
So I will say with Chief, I do agree. I think that is one of our top five. I mean, I'll say top 10 without even thinking about it. Could be top five best elimination moments, you know, maybe even top two. Like you said, the bananas backpack, number one by far with CT. This could
forever.
Be number two. Forever number one. All right, so that was basically the end of that episode, and then we
the popcorn muscles got popped.
Yeah, the popcorn muscles got popped. Shout out to the person who called that one out. That 100%. Now going into like future seasons with the Darios, we kind of know who they are and who they aren't, and they are what we thought they were. In the words of Denny Green. So next episode we get first of all, I mean, this is going to be the episode where we just heard that Abe calls Johnny Bananas John. And that's scary. Am I wrong in saying that was the scariest part you've ever seen of Abe, including the tattoos?
I shuddered. I got like a chill and I like shuddered. I'm like, is he talking about Johnny Bananas? Did he just call Johnny Bananas John? And like, I tensed up on my couch when he said that. So yeah, absolutely the scariest moment he's had by far. I mean, Abram, when he like tried to play the whole like, oh, I'm not really a psycho, I'm just pretending to make people think, like, you have your entire side of your heads are tattoos. You are a psycho. Mm-hmm. You're a psycho. Don't try to make it like this is a mind game. This is who you are. It's awesome, and you're the best at it. But don't try to sit there and tell me that you're not crazy, because that you are the craziest person on that show, which is saying something.
Everything about all the ink Abe has just screams crazy. So that goes without saying. And then him calling him John, I just respect the hell out of it, because it's not like Abe is wet behind the ears. Abe's been around the block. He knows what this is about. He even like explained it in one of those extra clips. Like, he's not Johnny Bananas. His name is John. I'm not going to call him Johnny Bananas. His name is John. I'm on his level. I don't care who he is. He doesn't intimidate me. So you can't help but respect that.
Yeah, and he truly, Abe is the variable now. He's the one part of this game Johnny Bananas couldn't see coming. And when there's a rabid dog, you can't know, you don't know what a rabid dog's gonna do. This could all be Abe just pulling shit behind the scenes and just looking to get Bananas out of it. It's incredible. Like you said, that little snippet they had where it's like they trick you when you're fast forwarding your DVR, so you stop. Mm-hmm. Like if they do that every time out and just have a 30-second Abe commercial, I'm 100% fine with that. I'll watch every commercial ever on MTV if they promise to just give me my 30 seconds of Abe.
Yeah. And you pointed out, Clem, the scariest part of that 30 seconds with Abe was not him calling him John. It was John just sitting around lounging, and in the background, Abe is just doing push-ups. Like cell block workout. Like, get some.
Yeah, so. And Cara Maria's there just like whispering sweet nothings in his ear, and that was some scary shit. And then we had
But John has him because of the whole Cara Maria thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When the episode closed and he's like, I'll light that match, he's like, Johnny Bananas is like, I'll set fire to this whole thing.
Yeah.
This whole show, this whole house, I'll burn it to the ground, and he'll be left standing on the pile of rubble with the cash.
Yep.
Because that's exactly how this is gonna play out. He'll get rid of Thomas and Abe, maybe make them fight each other. Then Cara Maria is gone, and it's still Johnny Bananas is king of the world.
He is always three steps ahead, even from the rabid dog. He's like, oh no, it's all right. Like, my dad is the animal control, like head of animal control. Like, he just has everything on lockdown. He's unbelievable. Right. He's everywhere at once. Two other things with Abe. One, when he is in the room reading the clue or whatever, and he's just uneven as fuck, and then he goes, hey, let's go to a room, right, Thomas? And everyone's just like tenses up, like,
what does he know? What does he know?
And even Thomas is like, oh fuck.
His pants.
And then Tony, on Twitter is calling out Abe. He says, I'm team Johnny for life and fuck the other guy or something like that. And someone's like, rest in peace, Tony. Like, Tony just died again in front of our eyes today. It's unbelievable.
Well, Adam, tough guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's no Adam. He didn't even put Abe. He put what's his name down. Yeah. There's not enough blondes in this world that could save him from Abe's wrath right now. So, yeah, good point on the Adam. And last but not least on this fucking diabolical couple, we have Cara Maria. We get a couple tweets from people saying she charges $65 for therapy sessions, which, I mean, if you can stop Abe from murdering people, you might actually be worth like a $65 therapy session. But, I mean, do you want Cara Maria telling you to do anything in life? I mean, it doesn't seem like the best.
But tell me how to have a healthy relationship, Cara Maria.
Go ahead. I'll sit back and listen. Go ahead. You start. But, no, I think it's like, and you guys obviously see it when you guys go out to these various events and people, these guys and these girls just want to come up to you and talk to you and take pictures with you guys. It's the same thing. Like, people just, they see someone on TV and they just want to go interact with them on some sort of personal level. So kudos to Cara Maria for banking on people's stupidity that they actually think she can offer them any sort of sound advice. But if she can make money off of it, you know, I tip my hat to her.
Cara Maria, give me some advice in the back of a bus. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
What is your rock, paper, scissors, shoot strategy?
But yeah, I'm not going to talk about Cara Maria anymore in case Abe hears this. So that was Chief who just said that, Abe. All right, so we'll get back. We'll get to the actual episode here. So Cara Maria's team wins again. I mean, this is just, I don't know if Cara Maria is like down low the most underrated best GM in the game, or if she just chose bananas and was like, he'll just figure out the rest. And he does. He is LeBron in last year's finals. He has Matt Dellavedova on his back and Tristan Thompson's looking like an all-star, and who gives a shit if Kyrie's hurt? And they do it again. It's unbelievable.
And everything he says is a cliche.
Oh yeah. That's what I was bananas. He gave us another JJ Watt line when he said, if you can't run with the big dogs, you better stay on the porch. It's like, how many times did you practice that before your interview, champ?
We get Kellyanne voting herself in, which I think was kind of, we were at least led to believe that she was looking for some Anissa, you know, a piece of Anissa in the finals. Nani gets voted in, pissed, kind of what we talked about before, crying. We learned about Banana's girl at home, Hannah, would be very upset if we didn't see that. That was some real life shit getting into the challenge there.
That was some fourth wall being broken down because I think sometimes people forget when they're watching these shows. These guys, now they're on Twitter. Like, everybody's very self-aware of what is going on, how they're presenting themselves on these shows. And he understands. He's not an idiot. He's been on these challenges how many years? He knows, all right, well, they're going to edit it however they want to edit it for television to make it look good. And if I say one name versus another name, I then have to deal with the wrath of my girlfriend when she's sitting down next to me watching the show. And I don't want to deal with that. So you need to understand, it's not about that I wanted to say your name, but it was like, if I didn't say your name, well, then I got to deal with sleeping in the doghouse for a week because my girlfriend hates me. So there's a little fourth wall demolition for everybody, which I always enjoy.
Yeah.
Once again, Johnny Bananas has it all figured out.
He's always thinking. He's always thinking.
So he's three steps ahead in Turkey, and he's like five steps ahead back home in the United States. The guy, he is, for as dumb as he is a master. He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's like, this episode will come out right around Christmas time. A girl will be upset at me. Like, he planned this all out. He really is. It's chess and checkers with him. He's unbelievable. He probably knew, like, if I vote Nani in, I have to say this is the reason. And he, like, he had this stuff planned out months before he even got to Turkey, before he even knew the episode was going on. So he's the puppet master, man. He's unbelievable. We're back to where we started on every episode. Johnny fucking Bananas, man.
And everybody hates him, but it's like, how can you hate the guy? He just, because he outplays you, so that's why you get aggravated? All right.
In fact, if you told me that there is footage somewhere of him telling Thomas to hook up with Cara Maria just in case Abe came, I 100% believe you. 100% believe you.
Without a doubt.
So yeah, we get Nani voted in, pissed, upset, crying. We get the whole Hannah thing, the whole Bananas. I thought that I was like, wow, like the way Nani and Bananas are going at each other in this coming up, you know, next part of the clip, maybe we're going to find out that Nani has the old Bananas Keela Camilla. No. Bananas did not give a shit. And again, it comes back to him not caring, being just a puppet master. So we get Kellyanne versus Nani in the gauntlet, the duel, the pit, whatever you want to call it. Kellyanne immediately brings up the old cold, fakest cough ever for a chest cold. I got about 1,000. That's Duel Presidente. That's Prez. That's Dave. You know, throwing the excuses out already, which good work by everyone, just throwing him right under the bus. Yeah. Again, Dan, if you want to record your own podcast, I'll just like hit record. You can just go on that and the Darios for like an hour long. You're more than welcome just to have your own podcast because this episode was made for you, pal. So what do you guys, Connor, what did you see in the duel that we had between Kellyanne and Nani?
First thought is, okay, when TJ says you got to do this 50 times, my first thought is, okay, I'm going to just make a judgment based on the fact that Kellyanne does yoga, looks very fit. She's going to have some endurance. Nani ripped an entire pack of cigs the night before. This might be a little difficult. And it played out how we thought it was going to play out. The one thing I thought, and maybe we just couldn't hear it, the one thing I thought would have been helpful for both of them was if they had somebody counting for them how many times they hit the bell. Because like if you're like a distance swimmer, if you ever watching the Olympics next summer, Rio 2016, when these distance swimmers go, there's somebody who has a board that they dip in the water to let you know how many laps you've swam so you don't have to count for yourself. And by doing that, Kellyanne at one point was up like 5. She probably could have like slowed her pace a little. And it ultimately didn't matter because she won, but it could have been a lot easier for both of them. But I didn't see Nani having a chance in hell to win that challenge.
Chief, what'd you say?
Yeah, I think that was, you know, when the Darios were making fun of her in the first episode, they're doing the dance where she's ripping cigs. So it's like, oh man, like, yeah, Nani's going to be in trouble here. It was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. I think the final tally was 50 to 48 or 49. So, and I feel like Nani got a little bit slowed up right off the bat because she wasn't hitting the bell. So I thought that Kellyanne was going to like win by double digits. Like it wasn't going to cover the spread easily. if we were going to set the spread, it'd probably about a touchdown for differential.
6.5. And, I was going to say,
yep. Yeah. And Nani kept it within the number. So good for her. But I do, if I had my choice, I would have kept Nani there to see the fallout between she and Bananas the rest of the way. Cause yeah, she seemed like absolutely. She was good. She was like getting ready for war.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously Kellyanne's nice to look at. Her bloodline, Jamie, has – Clem, what did you say the personality of he has cotton this, candy?
Yeah, his personality has the substance of cotton candy.
Yeah, he's not bringing anything to the table. And although credit to Nani and Nicole, they had a perfect record when it came to inserting themselves into a fight every episode.
You called it, bro.
So, yeah. So good for them for that. But I, just like you said, Chief, I would have liked to have had them stick around a little bit longer because I think it really could have exploded with John.
The Puerto Rican fucking shitstorm that was coming back to that house, if she had won that too. But you know what? Bananas, if you notice, he told Nani how to like hit the mattress the right way. Just when he knew Kellyanne was going to win, he's like, oh, Nani, go low on it. Like he knew exactly when. So he's like, yeah. Nani's like, well, he did help me out there. And he just keeps playing the game, man. He just keeps playing the game. Unbelievable.
See you next season for our alliance. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, hey, Nani, you've been on, you know, X amount of challenges now. Why don't you attempt to get in any sort of shape if you want to try to go for the championship? Because obviously at some point endurance is going to be a factor. So do something. Just any sort of training to prepare yourself so you don't just look like an absolute boob when you go and do these challenges.
Nani is – I say this, I don't want to sound like a real asshole. I'm trying to think of a way to say this. she just has the lowest self-esteem of anyone I've ever seen in my life. Like, when she gets made fun of, she's like, well, if you're going to make fun of me about something else, not that. I'm like, Nani, just don't take it on the chin like that, Nani, please, mm-hmm. God almighty. So, yeah, that's the end of Nani and Nicole. Again, I mean, at this point, we're not dealing with, like, a lot of A-pluses in the house. We have a few. And then to lose Donnie and Nicole at this point really hurts the – I think that's why MTV is throwing double episodes on the day before New Year's, when they used to just – you know, this would be like a double bye week for us, the night before Christmas Eve and then the night before New Year's. And they're just like, fuck it, let's just run the clock out and get Rivals 3 going, which would probably be awesome. So kind of going into that, we had our next on, which our next on was pretty goddamn good. And I don't think this was this rest of the season on. This was just straight up next on. So next mm-hmm. episode should be good. We have Abe with a bloody nose screaming like a maniac. He apparently, we're led to believe that Johnny plays his politics, tells him about Thomas. Johnny basically does to Abe and Thomas what Phyllis does with Dwight and Andy, where it basically just stirs up the entire shit, lets it all known about what happened that night. And we're probably going to get an Abe and Thomas, Dwight and Andy moment, but it's like Abe tries to eat his face off kind of a thing. Best case scenario. CT and Zach. I mean, what else do we really have to say about that? I mean, next episode could be the best episode of the season, or they're firing, right? They're throwing everything at the wall right now and just trying to, they're just button mashing, you know, for lack of a better word, if it was an arcade game.
Mm. And CT and Zach had different colored shirts. If we want to try to speculate, that could mean they're going to play or get drafted or play for both teams. I don't know. So we'll see how that plays out, because that'll definitely be a factor in terms of who goes to what team.
Let's see what you have to go ahead, Chief.
I'm just so happy to have, like, I don't even want to speculate or need to speculate. I'm so happy to have CT back in my life. I kind of quit the challenge last season with all the DM stuff. Like, I was not, like, I wasn't into it, so I needed a season off. And then when I came back this year, I was like, man, like, I really wish CT was on this season, and now he is. So, and what did he say? I'm just here to fuck shit up.
Yep.
And couldn't be any better. So now that you've got the bananas thing, the only guy who really owns him is CT, and then you got the crazy guy Abe, and then the ultimate meathead Zach. It's like someone has to die. One of those people have to actually die.
They gotta
actually be like, they're right there with ISIS. Someone has to be like thrown over there, and that's going to be the end of it. Someone from out of that four has to die.
They have a challenge where they're jumping to and from cars. It's very plausible. It's very plausible. And that was great editing at the end of the episode before the next on, when John is laying in bed and Jamie was saying how, you know, everybody in the house hates you now and everybody's coming at you. And he, in so many words, is like, I don't care, because I've gone up against the best and I've gone up against crazier guys. I've gone up against bigger guys. And then we get the next on and we get crazy and big guys. So it was just awesome.
Fucking bananas. Like, oh, yeah, I was talking to the, you know, producers earlier. This is how we're going to run the rest of this season. Like, Johnny's just pulling all the goddamn strings. All right. Yeah. So it's going to be chaos here. I mean, Johnny Bananas just pulling the strings, probably telling the producers that he wants CT on the show to throw Abe off his game. Plus, he's going to, you know, explode the whole Cara Maria thing. It's going to be crazy. So, little behind the curtains right here. We just lost the Chief. I think Chief quit on us, Connor.
That's unfortunate. And I will give him the benefit of the doubt, as he is a rookie. So he did not yet know that our motto is that we don't quit on each other within the alliance, but hopefully maybe we can get him back. If not, we'll bring up the tail end here.
If TJ Lavin ever finds out about this, Chief, you're in trouble. He might even at you on Twitter and just straight up call you out. So we're going to go MVP and LVP. This is a double episode. We'll just lump the episodes together and we'll just give one MVP and one LVP. Do you have an MVP?
I think my MVP has to be John, just because of all the puppetry he did these two episodes and how he orchestrated the rookies to go against each other in the first episode, and how he got Nani all fired up at him, but ultimately liking him after she even lost the second pit. So I think John's got to be my MVP. What about you?
Connor, I actually was about to say this. You calling him John now kind of scares me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, like that's something that Abe does, and Abe's a crazy person. You're happy-go-lucky Connor who gets drunk at holiday holiday podcast parties. I'm starting to see a little bit into your soul now, Connor. I don't like this one bit. My MVP is Abe. Everything he says and does. I mean, they're throwing 30-second Abe commercials at us now. I'm scared of Abe. If I was actually in the house, he would not be my MVP because I'd be way too scared of him to even think about voting for MVP. But as someone like watching from their couch, like when he actually kills Thomas, then I'll have like a really hard time voting him because I don't believe in murder. But Abe's my MVP just because he's constant entertainment. He throws bananas, you know, a little bit astray, even though bananas has it all worked out in his mind and he can get this all done with the Cara Maria powder keg. But I'm going to go with Abe. And then we're going to go LVP. You got an LVP?
Absolutely. I think this one's a no brainer this week. I think our LVP are Dario 1 and Dario 2 for the fact that they really ran their mouth throughout the deliberation and going into the challenge. They ran their mouth as if this is their sixth or seventh challenge. I think you need to have a little more composure as a rookie. And I'm all for, you know, a little bit of trash talk and some friendly banter. But when you've done nothing to prove yourself, I take issue with that. And then for their obvious slip up within the actual pit and the premature celebration. And sneaky, the best part was like Dario 1 said to TJ, the yellow line hit. And TJ just said, no, it didn't. Yeah. And they just kept going. So sorry, bro. Bros, you're the LVPs.
Yo, that was so true, man. When TJ said that, you could tell even TJ is like, fuck these guys. He's like, nothing, bro. Fuck you. He had so much happiness in his voice when he got to say no, he didn't. Yeah, Dario's were my pick, too. I actually said to my wife, I said, so who do you think, you know, MVP, LVP? And just kind of just shooting the shit with her. And she's like, oh, the Dario's are definitely the LVP. Like, not even thinking twice about it. So, yeah, 100%. Dario's are the worst. Like Big Cat said last episode, the Dario's aren't invited on our podcast for another season at least because we don't fuck with rookies. I think the Dario's are basically persona non grata on this podcast until further notice because they're just a bunch of they're everything that we are against in this world, basically.
Exactly. They're everything we oppose and stand for on this podcast.
Yes, yes. Another solid I mean, this was a double episode, but solid podcast here. I think we did pretty good. Dan, we miss you. We love you, bud. Hope you traveled safely tonight. Sorry your replacement bailed on us. And like I said, if you want to record an hour solo podcast about those two things that I know you loved, you're more than welcome.
Absolutely. I think maybe we can get him to do that. We'll see. Just aside from the episodes in the podcast, Clem, how was your Christmas?
My Christmas was fantastic. It was very low key. One thing I learned, and this is the God's honest truth, I'm not just saying this, I was tweeting it. I am at the age now where if I eat like a good amount of appetizers or like a legit meal, I'm in pain for like 5 to 7 hours. And I don't do antacids. I don't do any of that stuff. I probably should like learn to see what this problem is if it's not like something slowly killing me. And I just eat candy canes. I eat candy canes and I drink cold Poland Spring water and it doesn't really help, but like in my mind it helps. So other than that, it was a good holiday. How about you, Captain Cons?
It was terrific. You know, it's always a good time when you can get home with your family. I at one point during tonight's episodes, I tweeted out to raise your hand if this resembles the commotion resembles your family Christmases. And that was a little bit in my house. We got a lot of Irish Catholics, a little booze, and start yelling and screaming a little bit, but all in good fun, good banter, some good political discussions, and that always gets interesting. But overall, it was a very, very nice holiday, and I hope all of our listeners had an equally nice Christmas, and I wish that everyone has a tremendous new year, and I can't wait to meet everyone's new you on Monday.
Yeah, get to the gym, you know, sign up for your gym membership and promise to start the diets and all that stuff, and then, you know, You guys don't have to quit. I'll probably quit mine, though. Don't tell TJ, though. I'll probably quit mine. So, yeah, another awesome time. One other thing I wanted to mention. A lot of people have been saying they want to get us to, like, potentially do some sort of a streaming down the road for the podcast. If I can figure out a way that we can stream this and then still have it where we can record it and upload it. And I don't really want to use Periscope, and there's three of us and we're in different cities or states at the same time. If there's some way that can work, tweet at me at the No Quitters Pod. And we'll try to figure it out. I think for at least maybe the finale, we'll do something like that. We talked about people wanted to do watch parties and stuff like that, which would obviously be awesome. I think that'll be probably more of a next Rivals 3 thing more than it is a Bloodlines finale kind of a thing. But that's something we're definitely looking into. Anything you guys want, I've actually talked about maybe getting a t-shirt, a challenge t-shirt out there in the store. So we'll see how that goes. Again, thanks everyone for listening. This is Clem at the Clem Report. We have our boy Connor at Captain Cons, his brand new fancy name, over 1,000 followers. And we had our good friend who quit on us today, Barstool Chief. I'm just fucking with you, Chief. We love you. You know, I have to bust your balls. If your friends don't bust your balls, they're not your friends. So
exactly.
Again, follow Barstool Chief. He has all his information for his Bachelor podcast. It's going to be great shit. Everyone who, you know, I imagine a lot of people who listen to us are also Bachelor fans and want to hear something on that. And you're not getting, you know, your generic boring podcast. You're getting just a bunch of idiots like us talking about idiots like that are on these reality shows. Again, we're on SoundCloud, the KFC Radio SoundCloud, or we're on iTunes if you search No Quitters Pod, No Quitters Podcast, and on Twitter at No Quitters Pod. So once again, don't quit on us. We won't quit on you.